When Wyoming game warden Joe Pickett received the call every parent dreads, he was standing knee-high in thick sagebrush, counting the carcasses of sage grouse. He was up to 21. Feathers carpeted the dry soil and clung to the waxy blue-green leaves and flowers of the sagebrush within a 50-foot radius. The air smelled of dust, sage, and blood. It was late morning in mid-March on a vast, brush-covered flat managed by the Federal Bureau of Land Management. There wasn't a single tree for 18 miles to the west on the BLM land until the rolling hills rocked back on their heels and began their sharp ascent into the snow-covered Bighorn Mountains, which were managed by the U.S. Forest Service. Joe's green Game and Fish Ford pickup straddled the ancient two-track road that had brought him up there, the engine idling and the front driver's door still open from when he'd leapt out. His yellow Labrador Daisy was trembling in the bed of the truck, her front paws poised on the top of the bed wall as she stared out at the expanse of land. Twin strings of drool hung from her mouth. She smelled the carnage out on the flat, and she wanted to be a part of it. "Stay," Joe commanded. Daisy moaned, reset her paws, and trembled some more. Joe wore his red uniform shirt with the pronghorn patch on the sleeve, Wrangler jeans, cowboy boots, and a Filson vest against the chill. His worn gray Stetson was clamped on tight. A rarely drawn 40-caliber Glock semi-auto was on his hip. 21 dead sage grouse. In his youth, everyone called them prairie chickens, and he knew the young ones were good to eat when roasted because they'd been a staple in his poverty-filled college days. They were odd birds, chicken-sized, pear-shaped, ungainly when flying. They were the largest of the grouse species, and their habitat once included most of the western United States and Canada. Wyoming contained 100,000 of them, 40% of the North American population. Of this flock, he'd noted only three survivors, all young female chicks. He'd seen their teardrop-shaped forms ghosting from brush to brush on the periphery of the location. They didn't fly away, he knew, because they couldn't yet. It's obvious what had happened. Fat tire tracks churned through the sagebrush, crushing some of the plants and snapping others at their woody stalks. Spent 12-gauge shotgun shells littered the ground, Federal four-shot. He speared one through its open end with his pen and sniffed. It still smelled of gunpowder. He retrieved 18 spent shells and bagged them. Later, after he'd sealed the evidence bag, he found two more shells. Since 18 shells were more than a representative sample, he tossed the two errant casings into the back of his pickup. There was a single empty Coors Light can on the northeast corner of the site. He bagged it and tagged it and hoped the forensics lab in Laramie could pull prints from the outside or DNA from the lip. Problem was, the can looked much older than the spent shotgun shells, and he couldn't determine if it had simply been discarded along the road a few weeks prior to the slaughter. Joe guessed that the incident had occurred either the night or day before because the exploded carcasses hadn't yet been picked over by predators. Small spores of blood in the dirt had not yet dried black. Whoever had done it had shot them on the lek, a lek being an annual gathering of the birds where the males strutted and clucked to attract females for breeding. The lek was a concentric circle of birds with the strutting male grouse in the center of it. Some leks were so large and predictable that locals would drive out to the location to watch the avian meat market in action. The birds bred in mid-March, nested, and produced chicks in June. If someone was to choose the most opportune time to slaughter an entire flock, this was it, Joe knew. So Lek 64, as it had been designated by a multi-agency team of biologists charged with counting the number of healthy groupings within the state, was no more. Joe shook his head to clear it, and he looked at the carnage. Half a year after being named special liaison to the executive branch by Governor Roulon himself, in the middle of Joe's own 5,000-square-mile district, he discovered the site of the wanton destruction of 21 rare game birds whose deaths could bring down the state of Wyoming. That's when the call came. And suddenly he was no longer thinking about birds.